I'm an alcoholic. My name is John.
Hey, John.
It's good to see everybody. Really happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me, Luis. My sobriety date is October 16th, 2016. Give me 1 second. There's more people here than I was expecting. That's okay. Thanks, Luis, for inviting me. You know, I love drugs and alcohol. I grew up in Santa Ana. When I was 12, me and two of my best friends got a homeless guy to buy us a couple bottles of pop off. And I pounded one of those bottles and I threw up everywhere. And, you know, that's pretty much sets the stage for how I drink and use. Started smoking weed, drinking at that age, got into high school, started partying with everything else, discovered meth. I also love meth. And I wound up dropping out of high school. I got pretty messed up. I moved to Montana and did a geographic when I was 22. And my understanding of my problem at that time is that the drugs and alcohol are my problem. You know what I mean? If I can get away from these substances, then things are going to improve. Like, I'll be fine, right? I just need to get away from this stuff and then everything's going to be good. And I ran away. And for a little while, I was physically sober for, I don't know, maybe a month. And eventually I started to meet people there. I got a job there and I lived there for 6 years and I turned into a round the clock drinker. So basically I lived in a bar pretty much. When I wasn't working, I was drinking, and I worked for every contractor in that valley. I started going to jail in Montana and I was blacked out all the time, crashing vehicles, you know, and I actually got away with a lot. You know what I mean? My consequences could have been way worse, but I was going to jail from time to time. I broke into a bar and I went to jail for 2 weeks. And I don't remember doing it. When the cops got there, I was just behind the bar drinking whiskey. And, you know, it's like, I wound up going to a little AA meeting in the town that I lived in the middle of nowhere. And, because I had nowhere else to go, you know what I mean? I need someone to kind of support me and keep me going. You know what I mean? I don't know. When I'm drinking and using, I need people around me to drink and use with, you know, to steal from and to kind of do it all, you know, do it with. And when that goes away, I don't know what to do, right? So I started going to this little meeting, and there was an old man there that sponsored me. And I was smoking weed and taking Norcos the whole time. And I remember my thinking, you know, at that time. And honestly, to me, I was sober. If you had asked me, I would have told you I was sober and I would have believed it. Because smoking weed and drinking, smoking weed and taking Norcos doesn't count, you know? And I really was as sober as I had ever been at that point. And so I wound up moving back to California when I was 28. And the sponsor that I had, he told me that I was going to hook up with my ex-girlfriend and that I was going to get drunk and that I was fucked. And sorry if I'm not allowed to cuss, but I'll try and keep it to a minimum. And so I wound up moving back to California. A couple months later, I was with that girl. I was in a bar. I got drunk. And, and that set the stage for the next kind of phase of my drinking and using. And so I started to, at that point, I met another girl. I had a baby. I started taking a lot of pills, right? So I got into oxys, Opana, morphine, Adderall, Xanax. And I spent the next 10 years basically juggling my pill addiction. So I thought I was going to be smarter than my, you know. So when I look at, they talk about how my addiction, my alcoholism is progressive. And I mean, I identify as an alcoholic. I absolutely am an alcoholic. For me, it's all the same. You know, I seek the drugs and the alcohol. I seek for the same purpose. You know, they serve a purpose for me and it's really important. It's a purpose that turns out is very, very difficult for me to replace. You know what I mean? Like, I need something. And for a long time, that was the thing, you know, and it Even when I was in a total oblivion, you know, or sitting in a jail cell, or like I have nobody else, nowhere to turn to, the drugs and alcohol are still doing something for me that I need. And eventually, so that pill addiction started. I lived with one of my cousins who was a heroin addict, and I always told myself I would never use needles. And he wound up shooting himself. And I remember one of the last times I talked to him, he was laughing because I was trying to get sober, and he thought it was funny that I was going to meetings, you know, because he was a super functional addict. Like he would, you know, he always held a job, he made money, you know what I mean? And he thought it was really funny that I would go to an AA meeting, like, you know, only dummies go to AA meetings. And I started to realize at that point that so at that point I had two kids, and you know, I think that what started to happen is that I finally had two people in my life that I really, really cared about, that I really wanted to do something for, that I could, you know what I mean? I had kids that I took to the dealer's house, that I left them crying in the car, kids that I, you know, got drunk and blacked out and I had no idea what happened to them, you know, kids that I absolutely mistreated and abused, you know, despite the fact that I would tell everybody how much I love them, you know what I mean? And that was something that happened for me that started to show me the truth, you know, about what I was doing and like how I was just turning into someone that I did not want to be, you know what I mean? And like I was stealing, breaking into houses, and just homeless. Okay, so towards the end, I walked out of my family, back to meth, walking around in Huntington Beach in a meth psychosis, sitting on a curb in front of the Vagabond Inn, and I called my sister. Like my mom wouldn't let me around anymore. People I drank and used with didn't want me around anymore. I owed everybody money. I'd stolen from everybody, and I called my sister. She came and picked me up and took me to a detox. I detoxed for 7 days, got into a rehab, and you know, I've been in and out of this program for many years, basically since I was a teenager. And I love Alcoholics Anonymous today. Like I remember for years coming into a meeting, you know, I could go to a meeting anywhere and I'd be like, okay, yeah, you know, I know all the right things to say. I can see the steps on the wall. Like I know how to pretend like I'm getting sober. But the same thing happens to me every time. I come in, things start to improve. I get a little bit, you know, physical sobriety starts to happen. I start to get some money. Relationships start to come back a little bit. And then it's like, I don't want to go to a meeting, you know, that's boring. And, I have come to realize that the drugs and alcohol are not the problem. You know, my thinking, I have a spiritual disease, and I have to replace the thing that the drugs and alcohol, the purpose that they serve has to be replaced. And Alcoholics Anonymous offers me that, you know, and I used to go to meetings and like, I judge everything, you know, I judge the world from the curb. Like I can sit and have nothing, homeless, strung out for 2 weeks. Watch the guy, you know, sitting in a bush, watching a guy go to work and just be like, oh, you're that guy, you idiot. You know what I mean? I judge everything. I judge everybody I see, everywhere I go. Like, you know, I don't approve. And, you know, I've kind of come around to realize that how ridiculous my judgments, you know what I mean? How stupid it is. Like, I go into meetings now and I try and offer something to the newcomer. Congrats, by the way, congratulations to all the people who took chips, the newcomers, congratulations to the birthday people. That's super awesome. And you know, Alcoholics Anonymous has totally changed me. My wife filed for divorce about maybe 4 months before I went into rehab, or before I went into detox, and I had been out of the house for months before that. And today we celebrated our 12-year wedding anniversary. You know, and I got to take my son to a birthday party today, and I get to do his homework with him. And you know, I get to be a father today. I get to be a husband today, a son, a friend. You know, and those are all things that I do not know how to do on my own. Like I need the steps and Alcoholics Anonymous put me in touch with a power greater than myself, and I use that power on a daily basis to, you know, to take to take the weight off of my shoulders of controlling my life, because I can't do it by myself, you know? And, I still go through lots of struggles. You know what I mean? As a sober person, I have to constantly, I'm really grateful that I took some commitments early on. I'm a GSR at my home group. I'm a member of H&I. I do panels, and you know, those things have, really carried me through, like in the times that I like feel like I'm struggling, and like I'm not going to enough meetings and I'm not doing enough in Alcoholics Anonymous. Those commitments are what kind of keep me connected and get me back to where I can reconnect with and you know, and continue. So I'm grateful for all of that. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you to John again for being a great opening speaker.